Okay, today's daf is Ayin Chet. We're going to start at Amar Rav Papa, but the first one, it's about seven lines from the bottom. Before we start, I wanted to read something that somebody wrote, one of our listeners. She has a law background, and she wrote a few categories that were very interesting. I thought to mention that there's a bunch of categories that you would find in U.S. law that you don't see in the Gemara here. I'm not sure that we don't see them, but it could be the Gemara kind of... I think the Gemara is actually really is referencing them, but saying that we don't consider them. In other words, we differ from U.S. law. Obviously, the Gemara wasn't differing from U.S. law, but I think they are relating to these issues. But anyway, I'll read a little bit. I'll summarize it. I'm going to post it on the Facebook page, the section she sent me. So anyone who wants to read more can go look there. So she wrote that negligent homicide is a lower intent of crime, and you charge it when a person causes the death of another through criminal negligence. And it doesn't involve premeditation, but focuses on what the defendant should have known and then the risks associated with it. So that's exactly what we were discussing yesterday. He should have known it was going to cause his death. Let's say the shield was there and they moved the shield away, or a bunch of those cases. We're leaving him alone in a freezing room. So it exactly relates to negligent homicide. However, it rules that you're not responsible for it. Proximate cause is the idea that a person should have reasonably foreseen. This is also, I'm not sure exactly, but I guess those cases really aren't negligent, actually. That's more shkaga, let's say. But proximate causes are that he should have foreseen that it would have a certain result. That really relates to all the cases I just mentioned. And therefore, that, you know, it is considered a legal cause of death because you should have realized that that's what would happen. So she wrote here, in the cases we discussed, the person doesn't immediately kill the victim, but any reasonable person would know that the chances of death are very high. And therefore, she suggested two possible reasons as to why she thought it might differ. So, by the way, I may as well mention it, B'Shem Omer, which is, her name is Julie Mendelson, from Zichron. Anyway, she said here, number one, maybe we're talking about administering the death penalty as opposed to jail. And I think that that's something we're going to see, which I think is the obvious answer to most of these questions and difficulties and things we're going to see over, you know, the next, particularly also in today's stuff, that they definitely wanted to minimize doing, you know, using the death penalty, whereas in U.S. law, it's usually jail. And then she adds something very interesting, which I hadn't thought of, or which is less obvious, which is that she says that maybe because of our religious perspective, that we always think that maybe there's some other determining factor here, and that's going to be very prevalent also, I think, in today's stuff, that, in other words, while you might do something that you think might cause death, but the Jewish belief is that God is also a player there. So if you leave someone, and over the course of a number of days, he's going to die in that position, but, you know, maybe God will save him, maybe, and maybe the fact that he didn't die is because God decided not to spare him, and that there's some sort of religious or theological... To spare him, what did I say?
Not to spare him.
Oh, okay, right. No.
If he didn't die...
No, if he did die. No, he does die. Didn't die. Oh, sorry. If he does die, the assumption is that it was...
God had a way about it,
and that maybe there's some sort of theological issue going on here, and that could have been... So, you know, she gave a few examples of, you know, Joseph could have died in the pit, like people mentioned yesterday, where he could have been rescued by Reuven, right, or he got rescued by the Ishmaelim, right? So in other words, he maybe should have died, but he didn't because God made it that he would be rescued, or Daniel with the lions, things like that. So she ends here with, in a worldview in which there's no true accidents, and even a person who kills accidentally is considered having some level of guilt, right? Maybe it's a way of saying that Hashem could have sent a rescue for these people. Anyway, I thought to share that. Thought it was interesting. Thank you, Julie, for sharing. Okay. Going on. Amar Rav Papa. Hayman dekafte lechavre ve'eshkele bidka demaya. If somebody ties up his friend and then he brings a force of water that basically, you know, I guess it drowns him. So geri didehu. Okay, this is considered his... Right, remember, Gary means his arrows. It's as if it's his direct force that caused it. Umachayev, and he's responsible. But hanemile b'koch rishon, ava b'koch sheni grama ba'almahu. It's a bit of a debate about what this koch rishon and what this koch sheni is. So some people say koch rishon means directly the water hit him and drowned him. Some people say directly means
there was a flow of water coming, and there was a wall in between, and he broke the wall, and that caused the water to get in him. Some people say, no, that's already koch sheni, and other people say, no, koch sheni is where you dump the water somewhere else, but then it streamed down into where the person was. So it's a bit of a debate about what direct and indirect koch is. And once it's karma ba'alma, then you're not responsible. Va'amar papa, zarach tzur lamali, here we get to gravity. You throw a rock, a big rock, up in the air, and when it falls, right, think about when you're playing catch, kids play catch, like they throw it with themselves. They throw it up in the air. It doesn't always fall down exactly in the same spot, right? It's not so easy always to do that, right? But what's the assumption? So if he throws it up, and then it goes off to the side, and it falls down on the side, he's chayav, he's responsible. Amarle mar barabashi the rapapa, my taima. Mishum de kochohu, you want to say it's because of his koch, like I just said, right? If you throw something up, it's not necessarily going to drop down exactly where you threw it. But comes Mar Baravashi and he says, I don't understand. If you're going to say it's mishum kocho, I kocho teza la'el. V'ilav kochohu teza la'tachat. If you're going to say it's kocho, then it should have just gone straight up, right? And what's bringing it down? Gravity is bringing it down, not himself. It's a strange response. And if it isn't from his koch, then teza l'tachat, then it should, and if you're going to say it's just gravity, and it's not from his koch, then it should go down directly under where he threw it. So obviously there was something in the way he, right, you think of a pitcher, or the way he threw it up, that was aiming to, so according to this, ilav kocho, right, it should have gone straight down. Ela koch kochushu. Okay, so what are the answer? It's a, what he's, I'm sorry, this is, one second, Rav Papa answered him that there's some koch in here. In other words, there is some part of him that's affecting where it's going. Okay, and therefore, he's chayav. Tanu Rabbanan. Now we get to something we already learned in Baba Kama. A lot of this is repetition of the sugyot about Adam Mu'ad Olam. Hikuhu asara b'nei Adam ba'asara maklot. Okay, 10 people hit some, right, a gang fight. 10 people beat up on one guy with 10 maklot, vamet. First opinion is, bein bevat achad, whether they all hit him at the same time, bein bezeh achar zeh, or there was a line and they each took a turn one at a time, pturin, they're all pturin. Okay, because no one can be entirely responsible for his death. Okay, you can't pinpoint one person. We're going to see where he gets this from in the psukim. Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera omer bezeh achar zeh ha'acharon chayav mipnei shekirevet mitato. If they did it all at the same time, then you can't pinpoint any one individual. There's an assumption here that you can't have 10 people responsible for one person's death. Okay, that's based on, it's also in Shabbat. If two people do a malacha together and it's a malacha that you can't do by yourself, you can only do it together with one person, then, like, let's say you're carrying some heavy furniture into Rishud HaRabim from Rishud HaYachid. So one person can't do that by himself. So you would need both people to do it. Oh, no, one second. In that case, I think I'm confusing it now. Maybe it's if two people could have, I think maybe in that case you are both responsible. It's in a case where you could have done it yourself and two people do it, then you're not chayav. So here also, one person could have killed him, but 10 people did it together, so you can't make any one of them responsible. Again, it's a little bit like we saw yesterday, there's a problem with the ma'aseh, right? There's no actual ma'aseh avera, okay? There's no act of killing, because each one just hit. It was the combination that caused him to die. But according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera, if they did it one after the other, then presumably the last person who hit him, right? The last one who hits him is the one who actually caused his death. Okay, and therefore the last one's going to be responsible. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Ushnehem mikra achad darshu, and both darshan it from the same pasuk. Some of the mefreshim say, how could you possibly say the same thing and it's opposite from the exact same words? But okay, we've seen it many times, so it didn't bother me so much, that question. The ish ki akeh kol nefesh. Okay, here's the pasuk. Ish ki akeh kol nefesh adam, a person who hits the whole nefesh of a person, or we'll see how we translate that exactly. Kol nefesh adam, mot yumat, will get killed. It's in Vayikra Kaftal Ad Yudzayim. So now what do we say? Rabbanan savre kol nefesh. Adi'ika kol nefesh. You have to wipe out, you have to kill the entire nefesh. And in this case, everybody had a part. So even though the last guy drew the last blow, but he only killed part of it because it was really because of everybody, right? You think about it, it's and Lahavdil, but you're opening a jar, right? So everybody tries, and the last person who opens it succeeds, right? But why did he succeed? Because everybody loosened it a little bit. So he did the last move, but it wasn't such a big deal. So likewise, when they kill him, the last guy who hit, okay, it was just part of it. He didn't kill Kol HaNefesh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateras Savar, Kol Nefesh, Kol Dehu Nefesh. He understands Kol is not the entire Nefesh, but any part of the Nefesh. Okay? So any part of the nefesh he kills, if you cause someone's death, you were the last guy, you're responsible. Amar Rava. Now we're going to have a bit of a debate about this machloket. Or not a debate, but we're going to say in what case is it referring to. Rava says like this. Hakol modim behoreget ha-trefa shu patur. Everybody agrees that if a person is a trefa, what does a person being a trefa mean? It means that they have some sort of mum, some blemish in their body, some big problem that's going to cause them to die within the next year. Okay, now, this is complicated because nobody ever really knows when the time of death will be. But there was a certain assumption that there were certain things that caused you. It comes from an animal, basically, right? From Shech Shrita, from the lingo there. And they apply it also to a person, that if there's certain obvious things about a person that we know that a person will not make it past a certain time, you know, within the next 12 months, he will definitely die. So if somebody kills a trefa, both, okay, because think about it, this is similar to a trefa because the guy's about to die, okay, because people, already 9 people have hit him, but both Chachamim, Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateras would agree in that case, if he was really a trefa, he would be patur. Because what's the issue? It's like the Ein Lo Damim. You're allowed to kill the Baba Machteret because he's a dead man. Also, the Trefa is like a dead man. You're killing a dead man. That's not the same as killing a live person. It's not a Nefesh. It's not a full Nefesh because he's about to die. Begoses bide shamayim. If somebody has an illness, okay, it's a little tricky where we draw the line between all these things. But if there's something obvious that's wrong in the body that's going to cause his death, then that's one thing. And then we have an illness where I think it means like maybe your organs are all functioning. Maybe it's tough to know where exactly we draw the line. But some sort of disease, you have to remember also they knew a lot less about diseases than we know nowadays. Right? Where we draw the line today might be a little more complicated. If someone's goseis bidei shamayim, has some sort of disease, then everyone agrees shu chayav. So if you kill a person who's sick, okay, you're chayav. Because it's bidei shamayim. We're going to see the differences soon, what exactly the difference is. But lo nechleku ela begoses bidei adam. The machloket is where somebody hit the person, and because, right, ha'iku asara b'nei adam, where people hit the person, but it's not so clear that, in other words, it's not that there's a mum, that he's a goses, that he's a trefa, but they've all hit him, and because of that, he's now sick, and he's almost going to die because of, because somebody hit him. Okay, so that's going to be the third category, and that's the category that I'm a machloket about. Mar medamele le trefa, umar medamele le goses bidei shamayim. One says it's more similar to a trefa, in which case you're going to be patur, that was chachamim. And the other one is Medame Legoses Bidei Shamayim, who's going to say you're going to be patur. That's Rabbi Yehuda ben Bateras. So why? Manda Medame Lele Trefa, my time alone Medame Lele Goses Bidei Shamayim. Why did he say it's more similar to a trefa, not a Goses Bidei Shamayim? Goses Bidei Shamayim lo it avi be maase. Hai it avi be maase. When it comes to the Goses Bidei Shamayim, no actual act was done to this person. They got sick, but that's something Bidei Shamayim. We view that as, you know, a metaphysical act. But when it comes to a physical act having been done, that's more similar to a trefa, right? Where something's broken, something's off, something's wrong. You can see it. Whereas opposed to a sickness, you can't exactly see or identify what caused it. But the one who says no, hitting by a person is more similar to goses bidei shamayim. My time alo medame le trefa, because trefa mechatche simanim, halo mechatche simanim. Okay, there we assume that there's certain. Okay, there was this assumption. There's certain parts of your body that are signs of, you know, have life signs, and if those are cut, okay, those are severed, they're injured, then we could say that you're going to die. And the assumption is, when people beat him up, That wasn't what happened. It wasn't that his simanei chiyut were cut. So a trefa is it's almost like looking at a trefa, it's a very clear-cut category. If these things are severed or broken, then that means you're going to die. In this case, the person was just beaten up. Doesn't mean that they're going to die. So again, one says someone did a maaseh to it. That's much more like a trefa, where there's something severed, something cut, something broken. Whereas the other opinion says, no. You have to have actual, those simanim, those particular simanim that are considered trefa, those have to be broken. But if they're not, then we're going to view it as more closer to goses bidei shamayim. Tane Tana kamei de Rav Sheshet. Now, Tana brought a bright in front of Rav Sheshet. V'ish ki akeh kol nefesh. Okay, again that pasuk. Ish ki akeh kol nefesh, Adam. Lahavi, what does this come to include? Hamaket chavero, ve'ein bo kedei lahamit. Okay, so if somebody hits someone without dealing him a blow that can cause his death, uba acher vehemito, and then another person comes along to kill him, and he kills him, shu chayav. Okay, so then the second person who comes and deals him a death blow, he's going to be chayav.
Between those two and the ten.
Right, so what's the difference? Right, so first of all, they say pshita, right? Isn't this obvious that if the first one dealt him a blow, that if the first one dealt him a blow, that couldn't have been a death blow. The assumption is that those 10 guys maybe were dealing him death blows, just it happened, it didn't succeed. But if the first one dealt him a blow, aimbo kadei lahamit, pshita, it's obvious. Ela, yeshbo kadei lahamit, uba acher vehimito shu chayav. So they say, no. It must be you got the brayta wrong. When the Tana brought this brayta, what he really meant to say, which is basically like the case of the asara who hit him, which is yesh bo kedei lahamito. The 10 guys really were dealing him death blows. It's just he hadn't yet died. And then ba acher vehimito shu chayav. Then you're going to be chayav. Okay. So then, that's what the Brayta is teaching you. Ustamat Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah. And this Brayta matches Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah's opinion. Okay, so this Brayta is basically saying exactly what Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah is saying. And this clarifies for us better about these 10 Bnei Adam. That it was a case where they were all dealing him death blows. He just happened not to die yet. Right? You can imagine also this was in a span of 5 minutes, or 2 minutes, or who knows, right? They were all hitting him around the same time. And then, so again, that's why you can understand Chachamim a little better. It's unclear really who dealt the death blow, because it could be the guy hit him and the guy really, right? It's the same thing with opening the jar, right? It could be you really did loosen it all the way. You just didn't do that last step of opening it. But that wasn't really, the last guy who hit isn't necessarily mean that he's the guy who did it.
It also clarifies that you don't need 10.
Obviously, this is right. The 10 is an exaggerated number. Often we see 10 in many cases. 10 is just an exaggerated number. It could be anything more than one. Yeah. I think there they wanted you to have this sense of, even when there's 10, right, the Rabbi Yehuda ben Beterah would say. Amar Rava. Ha-horeget ha-trefa. Now we're going to go back to this trefa case. Ha-horeget ha-trefa patur. Okay, so if somebody kills a trefa, we saw this before, you're going to be patur, because the trefa was going to die anyway. So you haven't killed a kol nefesh. U'trefa shaharag b'fnei beitin chayav. Shelo b'fnei beitin patur. What if a trefa is the murderer? So now we're going to learn that a trefa who kills someone, let's start with the regular case, shelo b'fnei beitin. If just witnesses saw him, he's going to be patur. Why is he going to be patur? We're going to see in a minute. But if the Beit Din saw him, okay, there was a court,
timing.
Right? Bad timing. It's like when you do something and the police car's right there. You go through a red light and there's the cop. So if you do it in front of the Beit Din, you're chayav. Why is this? Bifnei Beit Din chayav dechtiv ubi'arta hara mikirbecha. Okay, we've seen this pasuk. This one that they're quoting comes in about the Navi or Cholem Chalomu Yumat Alasher Diber Sara Alashem. Okay, this Navi Sheker comes and tells you, right, which case is this? Right, this is the Mediach. He's trying to get you to worship Avodah Zarah, the Mesit, I guess. Maybe it's from there. Or maybe it's a Navi that tells you to go worship Avodah Zarah. So there it says, Ubi Artara Mikirbecha. So what do they learn from Biyartara Mikirbecha? That the Beitin has a mitzvah upon them to eradicate evil, which means if they see something wrong, they have to do something about it. So if they see a treifa kill, they have to do something about it. But shelo b'fnei Beitin patur. Why? Because how is it going to get brought to court? By witnesses. Now there's a problem with these witnesses. What's going to be the problem? Dehavile edut she'iata yachol lahazima. These edim are going to come and say, we saw this treifa on this and this day kill this person. And no one can actually turn them into edim zomimim. Why? Because if two people say, imanu ayitem, and they're right, and meaning those witnesses were trying to kill a treifa, the edim zomimim can't get punished kasher zamam, because the false witnesses were trying to kill a dead man, okay, or a dead person. They were trying to kill a treifa. So therefore, the punishment that the edim would get would be to kill two very healthy human beings. That's a harsher punishment than they tried to do. They just tried to kill a treifa. So that's called edut she'iyatai chol azima. It can't be canceled out by edim zomimim. And we have a principle that teaches us that kol edut she'iyatai chol azima lo shma edut. In order for edut to be considered edut, it has to be testimony that can be canceled. If it can't be knocked out by edim zomim, by edim mizimim, then it's not edut. I'll give you a better example of edut she'enachtei chol azima, which would be if they say, we saw this person murder, we just can't tell you what day it was or what time it was or what place it was. Right? They're missing some of the basic details, in which case you can never have edim come and say, oh, we were with you on that and that day and that place on that time, right? We were with you somewhere else, and therefore you couldn't have witnessed the murder. So if they leave out, that would be a more classic case, right? A basic case where we can't cancel it because you didn't tell us enough details. So that's a classic case. This is a bit of a more odd case, which is where the kasher zaman can't be fulfilled. Now, this is a little different from cases where we're going to see where when we start malkot, we're going to start with a bunch of exceptions where you can't exactly do the punishment of kasher zaman. You get malkot instead, it's a little different. Like if you say about a kohen that he's a ben grusha or a ben chalutza and you turn him into a halal, things like that. But it's a good question why they're distinguishing these from those. Okay, I'll leave it as a question. Va'amarava. Now we're going to have a bunch of similar cases. Harovea et ha-trefa chayav. If somebody sodomizes a trefa, he's chayav. Because again, you can be mezim, the rovea, right? The perpetrator, as opposed to the trefa, who's the victim. The treifa is just the victim here. That doesn't matter. It has nothing to do with the witnesses against the perpetrator. But if it was the treifa who sodomized, then b'fnei beitin chayav shalav b'fnei beitin patur. The exact same halacha. B'fnei beitin chayav dechtivu b'yartara mikirbecha. Right, and then they're not subject to laws of edut. You follow? The beitin themselves is a different thing. Shalav b'fnei beitin patur tehavya le'edut she'iyata yachol lahazimah. So the Gemara's obvious question is, Hatu Lamali, why do we need both those cases? Hainu Hach, they're the exact same thing. So they say, HaRovea Tatrifa Itzdrichale. We needed to teach the case of the Rovea Tatrifa. Because Ma'u Ditema Lehave Keman De Meshamish Meit V'Liftar. Maybe sodomizing a treifa is like sodomizing a dead person, where there's no Avera in it, because he's like he's a dead person, even though he's not actually dead. But he's considered a dead person halachically in the sense of if you kill him, you're not chayav mavet. So for certain intents and for certain issues, he's considered dead. So what do they answer? Kamash malan dimishum hana'ahu b'ha'it le'hana'ah. The reason you're getting the punishment here is because of the hana'ah that you received from sodomizing the person. So therefore, in this case, he was maybe a dead man that he was going to die soon, but in the act of the sexual relations, there was hana'ah. And because there was hana'ah, he was considered live for these purposes. Okay, so in other words, we're going to show that the treifa is dead when it comes to certain things. He's not considered a nefesh, but he's alive when it comes to, can you derive hana'ah from him in sexual relations? So therefore, that's why I had to teach us the second case. Ve'amarava, edim she'eidu b'treifa v'huzmu, Ein neharagim. Edim that testified against a treifa and became edim zomimim, ein neharagim. Okay, this is what we said already. That if edim would say the treifa was with us on this and this day and he couldn't have done it, they don't get punished by death. And that's because there's no kasher zamam. They were trying to kill a dead person. But ede trefa shehuzmu, but if there were edim ede trefa, one second.
The witnesses
were trefim, right? Yeah. The edim themselves were trefa shehuzmu. In other words, some regular guy testified against someone else. He lied. Come to edim's mizimim, right? They turned the regular witnesses into edim zomimim. They themselves were trefas. They can knock out the regular witnesses. But Rav Ashi Amar, he disagrees with Rav and says, no. Afilu edi trefa shows mu'ein haragim, why? Lefisha einam bezomime zomimim. In other words, they're trying to knock out that group, but we've seen someone else can knock out them. They can't knock out someone else unless they can also be knocked out. So in other words, you keep going, according to Rav Ashi, you keep going and going and going backwards, and we actually paskin that way, because they also, any witnesses who come in any, at any point, have to be able to be mizimim. Have to be, right, you can be mizimotam. You can turn them into edim zomim. V'amarava. Okay, now we're going to move into an ox. Shor trefa shaharag chayav. Okay, now, in order to, before we get here, we have to review. A shor that kills a person gets skila. And it says in the pasuk, v'gam ba'alav yumat, we've read this pasuk many times, and also the owner dies, but the owner, in fact, doesn't die. The Torah then says, v'im kofer yushat alav, v'natam pidyon nafsho. But if he pays his way out, he can pay a ransom to get his life back. Okay, we don't actually kill him, but it's as if he should be killed. Now, because the shor and the gam ba'alav, and as shor yisakel, v'gam ba'alav yumat, are said together in the pasuk, therefore we compare them, okay? So that's something you have to remember for this. So right now, they're going to start off and say, Rava says a shor trefa that killed is chayav. Even though he was a trefa, he's chayav. But shor shal adam trefa shaharag patur. But if the shor belonged to a person who was a trefa, then the shor is patur. My taima, what's the reason? Amar kra, shor yisakel v'gam ba'alav yumat. Kol hecha de krinam be v'gam ba'alav yumat, krinam be ashor yisakel. Kol hecha de lo krinam be v'gam ba'alav yumat, lo krinam be ashor yisakel. Only if the Baalim can also get killed, which would mean the Baalim had to be a regular person and not a trefa, then the shor can get killed. But if the Baalim can't get killed, then the shor also doesn't get killed. Rav Ashi Amar, afilu shor trefa nami sharag patur. He's going to take the comparison one step further. And he says, even a shor who's a trefa should also be patur. Why? My taima. Kevan de ilu Baalim havu ptire shor nami patur. Since if the Baalim were patur, in other words, again, if we're going to make this comparison, shor is like the Adam. So even if the shor is trefa and the owner wasn't a trefa, but if the owner was a trefa, he'd be patur. Therefore, if the shor is a trefa, he should also be patur. And therefore, Rav Ashi rules that a shor who's a trefa, who kills someone, also doesn't get skila. Because he views the shor as if he has human characteristics, right? They're comparing it, ad kedei kach, that we're going to view him as if he's a human. In terms of this, or at least with the same definitions we would give the humans. Okay, finishing up the last part of our Mishnah, and then we'll get to a new Mishnah. Hakelev, shisabu at hakelev, et hanachash. Remember, if you try to get a kelev to bite someone, and then we saw, then you're patur, but if you actually put the nachash, right, and put his fangs onto the person's neck, and then he bites the snake bites the person, then you're chayav. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. There was a machloket in the Mishnah. Sorry, heishich bo et hanachash. Rabbi Yehuda mechayev hachamim potrim. There was a machloket about it. Okay, if he sticks the snake on your neck or wherever it is on your body, and the snake bites you, so Rabbi Yehuda says you're chayav because you put the snake there, as you're doing, and chachamim or potrim. Now we're going to deal with the machloket a little bit. Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Kishatim tzilomer ledivrei Rabbi Yehuda. Eres nachash ben shinav hu omed. Okay, we're going to assume that what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? That the venom of the snake is just in its mouth. So when you open its mouth and put it on somebody's body, the venom, the Koran said it well. They translate it as a reflex. It's a reflex. It's not that the snake actually does something. It's just there, and it's a reflexive motion. And therefore, you're chayav because you basically caused it. L'fichach, makish b'sayif, and nachash patur. Okay, therefore, the person who did it is the murderer, and he gets killed. And the nachash is patur. What do you mean? What's he patur from? Well, he's just like the shur. Gam ha-shur yisakel. Also, he gets skila. L'divrei chachamim, eres nachash me'atzmo humaki. He actually does it himself. L'fichach, nachash b'skila v'hamachish patur. Okay, so therefore, he's going to view it. He thinks that, no, you're putting its mouth there, it doesn't do anything. The nachash actually has to do an action in order to release the venom. And therefore, the nachash is the one who's going to get skila, and the person actually didn't do, not that he didn't do anything, but yeah, he didn't, it wasn't the direct cause of death. It was more a grump. Okay, this also is interesting in terms of how much the animal, right, or right, in this case, the nachash, plays, right, has human characteristics almost, right? In other words, how much kavana he has, it takes away from the kavana of the person a little bit. Okay. Hamakeh et chavero, bein be'even, bein be'egrof. Okay, he kills his friend, whether with a rock or with his fist. Va'amduhu lemita. And they assess that this person's going to die. Ve'heikel mimasha haya. But in fact, the person starts to get better. Ula'achar mikein hichbib v'meit. But then the situation deteriorates and he dies. So now the question is going to be, right, this is a classic case, right? We've talked about this before, right? It happens often. There's unfortunately terrorist incidents or things like that where people are in the hospital and they're in critical condition and then they get a little better and then they eventually die. So, right, to us it seems pretty obvious. Well, it was from there. On the other hand, it's hard to know exactly. So if you hit someone and they assessed at the beginning that the person was going to die, then they got better, and then it got worse, chayav, Rabbi Nechemiah omer, patur sheraglayim ladavar. So there's a machloke chachamim in Rabbi Nechemiah. Chachamim say, you clearly killed this person, it's your fault. You got the death penalty. Rabbi Nechemiah says, no, we already assessed in the in-between stage that he was getting better. In which case, we can no longer be mechayev you the death penalty. Where did they learn this from? So that we're going to start right away with a braita. Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan, Edzo Darash Rabbi Nechemiah. This is his drasha. From Shmo Kaf Aleph, okay, I'll read from the beginning, and the Torah, or it only gives the middle pasuk here, 1 second. And Shmo Perakaf Aleph, Pasuk Yud Chet. And now you'll see why the Mishnah chose the Lashon it did about the Evan Be'egrof. V'chi yirivun anashim, if two people are fighting, v'hikat ishet re'eu, exactly our Mishnah, be'even o be'egrof, v'lo yamut, okay, it's clear, right? And he doesn't die. V'nafal lemishkav. Now notice it doesn't say there, and they assess that he was going to die. Okay, it just says, and he doesn't die. V'nafal lemishkav, and he ends up in bed. Im yakum v'hitalech b'chutz al mishanto, if he gets up and starts walking on his cane, Vinika hamakeh, and the wound heals. Rak shivto yiten v'rapo yirapeh. Okay, then you just have to pay the shevet, which is that he's sitting and he can't work. V'rapo yirapeh. Okay, and the rifuah. Okay, and assumingly you pay all the other things also, right? The five things. Okay, but anyway, how are we going to darshan this? Et zo darash Rabbi Nechemiah. Im yakum v'italech b'chutz al mishanto v'nika makah, v'chit ha'leh da'atch. And what's the point here? The point of the pasuk is rak shivto yitein, meaning you don't get the death penalty. So Rabbi Nechemiah asks an obvious question: v'chit ha'leh da'atch shezem alech b'shuk v'zeh neharag. Why would you even have thought that you would kill him? What kind of a havamin is that? The guy gets better, even if maybe we thought he was going to die, but if he doesn't eventually die, of course we're not going to kill you for that. How could it possibly be we're going to kill you when the guy's walking around the shuk, right? The only time you would have a case like that, where someone gets killed when the person he was trying to kill doesn't actually die, is when? Edim zomimim, right? Because they get kasher zaman, what they tried to do, what they didn't succeed in doing. In fact, we're going to learn that if the guy was actually killed from the first false witnesses, then we actually don't even kill the agents of it. But that's a whole different thing. Anyway, Ella, it must be referring to Zesh amduhu lemita vehekel mima shehaya ula'achar mikein echbid vamechu patur. It must be coming to tell you that even in the case where he eventually dies, but he got better in the interim, and Amdu, right, they assessed him, first he was going to die, then he got better, and then, right, and then he got worse. How do you know that Rachiv to Yitem v'rapo yirapay, right? That's what they're coming to teach you. In that case, you're only going to pay even though he eventually died. So now we're going to have to say, well, how do the rabbis read this pasuk? V'rabanan, hai v'nikam akam mai dar shebe. What do they do when it says, and it got better? Milamei shechof shinoto. What does he learn? Interesting, right? We haven't really talked about jail. In fact, one of the things Julie asked in her email was, they don't necessarily mention prison much, right? So here we see that there's a concept. We put him in jail, not for the reasons, right, for penalizing him like we do nowadays, but they put him in jail till we figure out, right? So the person's sitting there in critical condition in the hospital. All that while, we have to keep this person in jail who did it, because maybe the person will die and then we'll have to kill him.
This begs the question that you only really get the punishment if you kill someone. So if you just beat up someone and they don't die, you don't get anything?
No, so then you'd have to pay damages.
Just damages.
You'd have to pay damages. For sure you'd
no
pay
jail.
Damages. No jail. There's no jail. There's very, very, I think it doesn't even really come up, jail. This is one of the few places I believe that it comes up. We'll see. We'll keep our eye on it. Where it comes up. But notice we've been, you know, Nizikin and... We haven't really seen any jail until now.
Technically, the
first
difference
mention.
Between jail and prison is jail is where you wait until sentencing, is prison is where they send you after sentencing.
Okay.
So it may be that there's an understanding that there's nothing like prison, but there is jail.
Right. Now, where would they get the concept of jail? We're going to see this in today's daf. Okay, this holding center.
From Yosef.
From what?
Yosef.
Well, Yosef, but more so from the Mikoshesh and the Megadeth. Those were two people who Moshe didn't know what to do with them. The Mikoshesh, he'd seen the guy who was chopping trees in the Midbar. And then the guy who cursed in the name of God. He cursed someone else, right? Yatza Bena Isha Yisraeli. Okay, and he cursed someone else. And both places, it says Moshe didn't know what to do. We'll see today that the Lashon was a little different. Okay, and there they were, Hinicho b'mishmar, to figure out what to do with him. Okay, so that's where they get this concept. So first... We're going to assume Rabbanan, no, don't get the concept from there. They get it from this pasuk. That's where they get it, that you put him in jail. Rabbi Nechemya Chavisha Menale. So where does he learn it from? He learns it from Yalef Mimikoshesh. He must learn it from the Mikoshesh. We can't learn it from this pasuk because this pasuk isn't teaching you about jail. This pasuk is teaching you that he's patur, in fact, even if he dies eventually, according to Rabbi Nechemya. So Yalef Mimikoshesh, I'm sorry, He says you're patur. Said that right. Okay, so now, where's Rabbi Nechemya going to learn? Chavisha Minalan, Yalef Mimikoshesh. So now they say, Rabbananami Lofem Mimikoshesh. So why did the rabbis learn it from Mikoshesh? Much more obvious there, right? Where it says he gets put in jail. Okay, it says, Vayinicho Toba Mishmar, Kilo Porash Ma Ye Aselo. Because it wasn't explained what we should do with him. So what did the Rabbanan answer? Mikoshesh brakat lehu. The Mikoshesh we're not going to learn from because it was obvious he was high of death. What didn't Moshe know? Moshe lo havayada kat le b'mai. He didn't know which death penalty he's supposed to get. Okay, soon we're going to see why we assume that that's the case there. La fuke hai de lo yadinan I brakat lehu I la brakat lehu. But that wouldn't teach you a case of someone who we don't... Here's a great theory. It's saying you could only put in jail someone who you know did something wrong that you're going to get the death penalty for. You just don't know which death penalty. But if you don't even know if he's going to get the death penalty or not, you certainly can't put a person in jail for that reason, right? Very different from our understanding of prison. We put people in jail all the time, right? We think you did something, we already put you in jail. For Rabbi Nechemya Yalef Mimigadif. So now they say, okay, so if you can't learn, what we've now established is you can't learn it from the Mikoshesh because the cases aren't comparable. Our cases, we don't even have the death penalty. There it was clear. So now we have to go back to Rabbi Nechemya and say, well, you can't learn Chavisha from Chavshinoto from there. So Rabbi Nechemya Yalef Mimigadif. So he can learn it from the Megadif. Dilo Havayada Ibarkatlo the Chavshuhu. Okay, here the Megadeth is different. The Megadeth, the guy who cursed the name of God, we actually didn't know, Moshe didn't know if he was high of death penalty at all. And yet they put him in jail. Okay, there it says, they don't quote the pasuk here, it says there, I have to find it, it's in Vayikra.
Kaf,
where is it? Kaf what?
Kaf Dalet.
Kaf Dalet? No, it's not Kaf Dalet. It's Kaf.
Kaf Dalet 12.
What?
Kaf Dalet.
Doesn't say mayaselo, it says until God will tell them what to do, which is a much more general. Okay? So what do they answer? What are the rabbis going to say then? Why don't they learn it from there? For Rabbanan, because remember, Rabbanan learned it from our pasuk about he got up and started walking again. For Rabbanan, megadev horacha aita. Okay, now this is an interesting use of hara'acha. Hara'acha means usually it was a one-time thing. But here it even means, the way they understand the Mefreshim, that it means that they weren't even necessarily right about the fact that they put him in jail. In other words, they just didn't know what to do, they stuck him in jail. But it's not that that's the halacha is supposed to be that way. Okay, there they just had no idea, like they didn't know what to do, so they just stuck him in jail. But that wasn't necessarily what you're supposed to do, and it wasn't, they weren't following procedures. Okay? Kidutanya. Like it says in the Braita, and now we're going to see the difference. Yodea haya Moshe Rabbeinu shamakoshesh b'mita. Sheneemar mechalale hamot yumat. It already said, right, before the story, this is assuming there's order in the Torah, right? It already said beforehand, mechalale hamot yumat. Ela lo haya yodea be'ezo mita neherag. Okay, when it comes to Shabbat, it said, Sheneemar ki lo porash mayaselo. Aval megadev lo neemar bo ela lefrosh lahem al pi Hashem. Shelo haya Moshe yodea imu b'mita kol ikar im lav. Okay, so he therefore had no idea what to do with him. So now we're going to go back to these two opinions. Bishlama le Rabbi Nechemya. Hainu dechtive tre umdene. Chad imduhu lemita v'chaya. V'chad imduhu lemita v'mekel mima shahaya. Okay, there's two different shlavim mentioned in the pasuk. Okay, there's kumitalech ba'aretz. I'm sorry, kumitalech ba'aretz. Im yakum vitalech b'chutz al mishanto. Okay? And then it says, v'nika maka, right? There's two things said there. And then, right, and it gets better. So now they say there's two umdenot here. Chad amduhu lemita v'chaya, v'chad amduhu lemita v'hekel mima shahaya. Okay? It teaches you that if amduhu lemita, and then he got better, and also amduhu lemita, and it got a little bit better, right, but didn't kill entirely. Ela l'rabbanan tre umdenei lamali. But why do we need two? So what do they say? Chad imduhu lemita b'chaya. Now, do you understand? Because according to both of those cases, even if he entirely healed, or even if he just got a little bit better but then got worse again and died, Rabbi Nechem is going to say, Rak shiv toyi tempera po yirapay, right? That's the end of the pasuk. He only has to pay. But for Rabbanan, what do you need these two to teach you? So chad imduhu lemita b'chaya. One, imduhu lemita, and he got all better. And the other is, they thought he was going to live, and then he died. In that case, also, you're only going to pay. Because if from the beginning, these were, until now, we only discussed, if they assessed from the beginning that he was going to die. But if they assessed in the beginning that he was going to live, and then, you know, we all know sometimes things happen, complications, and then he eventually died, we don't, if originally, after the makah, they said, oh, this guy's going to live, then you don't have to pay damage. Then you only pay damages. You don't get killed, even if eventually he dies from it. Okay, so it's very important. It was a very important job those people had who did the assessment in the beginning. And you have to wonder on what medical information and knowledge did they base their assessments on. This is all about assessment and how you see how valuable these assessments are because they make a huge difference. Rabbi Nechemya, imdu l'chayim v'met, lo tzarech krash, arei yatzah mibeit din zakai. Rabbi Nechemya says, you don't even need a pasuk for that. Because if they thought he was going to live from the beginning, well, then he's zakai from the beginning. He never even was chayav. So, of course, once you're yatzah mibeit din zakai, you certainly aren't going to be chayav again. Tanu Rabbanan, hamaket chavero v'imdu l'mita v'chaya putrinoto. Okay, now we're going to see some brightot about this. So, if somebody hits his friend and they decide, they assess that he's going to die, but then he lives, Potrino to, then he's patur. Imduhu limita vehekel mimasha haya, but if they thought he was going to die and he just got a little bit better, omdino to, omed sheni. Then they reassess in the middle, right? So they decide, okay, so what are the damages going to be? They make it a damage assessment as opposed to a death assessment. Omed sheni limamon, okay, for money. Ve'im la'achar ken hichbid vamet, but then if eventually he dies, what do we say? Halach achar omer ha'emtza'i divrei Rabbi Nechemya. What will Rabbi Nechemya say? How do we, now we get to, well, how much does he have to pay? Based on the assessment they did in the interim. Okay, so you follow, we didn't really talk about the assessment in the interim because that didn't interest us before until now. Now they're going to say, okay, so they assessed him in the interim and said, fine, he's going to live, but these are the damages he caused. If the guy eventually dies, he has to pay those damages.
This makes sense because otherwise there's no end to
exactly,
this.
Exactly. It makes a lot of sense. The Chachamim Omrim, Ein Omed Achar Omed. Okay, in other words, the first Omed is what counts. You can't, it's like Ein Bishol Achar Bishol, right? You, once you did an Omed, you assessed he was going to die, therefore the guy dies. You know, the guy gets killed. Tanya Idach, obviously there is Omed Achar Omed if the guy actually survives, but not if he eventually died. Tanya Idach, because first of all, why is that? Because if he lives, then obviously the Omed is proven wrong. But if he gets better in the interim and eventually dies, well, then the first Omed was proven right. So they say it stands.
It's retroactive that it doesn't stand. Meaning the first Omed says it's going to die, the second assesses it, and then he dies.
And then he dies, so then it means
retroactively, you know,
the first one was right. Exactly. According to Chachamim. Tanya Idach, another braita, Amdu Limita, Omdino Tolachayim. Omdu Limita, Omdino Tolachayim. One second. Right. Amdu Limita, if they first said he was going to die, Then things changed. Omdimo to lechayim. You can change a mita assessment to a chayim assessment. But lechayim, but once you said he's going to live, ain omdino to lemita. This is review of what we said before, right? You can't then change it and say he's going to die. Amdu, but what about the in-between case? Amdu lemita behekel mimashaya, right? But if he started off dead, and then they thought he was going to die, and then he got better. Omdin oto, again, he got a little bit better. Omdin oto omed sheni lemamon. Sorry, omdin oto. They again assess him an omed sheni lemamon, a second assessment for damages. V'im lachar kein echbib bameit. And if then he eventually dies, mishalem nezek v'tzara liyorshim. Okay, then he pays damages to the yorshim. Now there's a debate here. We don't have time. Rashi says not only nezek tzara, shevet ripoy boshet, all the five things. Some people say, no, repoy is only if there are actual medical bills. At that point, there's no more medical bills. You know, there's a debate about which ones actually. Do we mean nezek and tzar is that like a catchphrase for all of them? Or is it, and why would you use two as a catchphrase for all five? Why don't we just use one? Because nezek, if you remember in Bava Kama, there were all kinds of cases where people only paid nezek and they didn't pay the other four. So they had to say nezek and tzar, and then tzar was a catchphrase for all the others. Or maybe not. Maybe some are not applicable anymore after death.
Is there a time limit to the person getting better or not getting better?
That's a good question, right. Is there a time limit? Right. So it's a good question. not so clear from here. Me'ematai mishalem misha'a shehikahu. Ustama, okay, so when do you pay? That's, again, when do we assess? From when do we assess the damages? The damages from, not the omed sheni, but really from the beginning. What were the original damages that were done to him from the moment of the hitting? Ustama, and this braita is stama Rabbi Nechemya, because he says it goes lemamon even if the guy dies. Okay, so the first braita we saw before this was giving both opinions. This one was just going in the way of Rabbi Nechemya. So these are very, I'm sorry that we rushed through these dapim. There's so much in them in terms of responsibility, damages. It's such a fascinating daf, and there's so much more you can go in depth. So I welcome you all to spend more time on them.